At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Well, we are 1 week away from the NFL Conference Championship games, and so far the ratings for the NFL playoffs continue to trail last year. Whether or not that's a big deal is, you know, up to your interpretation. I know it certainly isn't a big deal to me. We'll discuss that and more on the New Sports Media Watch podcast. I'm John Lewis, joined as always by Armand Brody. And if you have not already, please subscribe to the SMW podcast feed on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. So let's get right into the NFL ratings talk. 8 of 10 playoff windows through the divisional round have declined from last year. That's on top of a regular season that was down slightly as well. Obviously, it's always going to attract attention when ratings are down, but realistically, these numbers are still excellent. Even the numbers for the divisional round, which were actually at four-year lows. Ultimately, the NFL can't maintain the record-shattering standard every single year. You're not going to set a record and then set a new record and then set a new record. So, Armand, I'll bring you in on that note. So what do you make of the NFL's declines in this postseason?
Good to be with you again, John. I was a little surprised, and maybe I shouldn't have been, that the Baltimore-Buffalo number was at 42. I expected maybe a little bit of a boost, considering how much hype there was surrounding the game. But I see your perspective, and in the grand scheme of things, maybe my surprise is a bit of a reach. Considering the fact that on the NFC side, you have no Dallas, you have no New York, you've got a Philadelphia team taking on a Rams team that's never been that much of a draw, and then you've got a Washington team that nobody knows yet, and a Detroit team that, although their story was good, their prominence as sort of a face of one of the faces of the league, that's not there yet. So you really do miss out on a lot when you don't have a Dallas, as we talked about previously. Not surprised at the NFC numbers, but I was a little surprised, John, and maybe I shouldn't have been. You can jump in and tell me how wrong I am. Won't be the first time I've been wrong. But that 42 million number was a little low to me. What did you think?
Well, 42 million is 42 million, right? I mean, that's still a massive number. I think sometimes the last couple of years have set an expectation that's unrealistic. The NFL had three really excellent years in a row. Let's talk about what that 6:30 window on divisional round Sunday has been. This year it was Bills Ravens. Last year it was Bills Chiefs. 2 years ago it was Cowboys 49ers. And the year before that it was Bills Chiefs again. So obviously those are very high bars to clear. And because the NFL had amazing years, you know, 2-3 years in a row, it's just hard to meet that standard. Cowboys, Lions did perfectly well. I mean, well over 30 million viewers. Last year was, you know, Green Bay 49ers, right? Packers 49ers, one of the best matchups the NFL has. 2 years ago, it was also Packers 49ers, right? And that's, it's hard to reach that standard. You know, so to me, the NFL is maybe a victim of its own success a bit. It's just hard to maintain the standard of viewership that the NFL has had. And it's also the case, fewer people are watching TV, and eventually even the NFL is going to suffer from that.
It's a good point. Sometimes it's as simple as you cannot stay at that peak spot forever. And there doesn't have to be a narrative. There doesn't have to be some larger commentary about some social issue that people want to attach to the ratings. Sometimes it's simply, you know what? We were at this number, which was a peak, which was an incredible number. You're getting into the 50s for Kansas City, Buffalo. And sometimes, you know what? You just got to have a little bit of a come down. And it seems to be that way for the NFL this year.
Yeah, And, you know, the other thing, too, you're not going to get the best teams every single time from a ratings perspective. Dallas wasn't good. 49ers didn't make it. Packers out in the first round. That's the entire NFC, right? That's why, you know, Fox had its least watched season in 4 years this year. I mean, that's a factor, right? And in the AFC, we talked about it last week, how big the AFC is now. You know, obviously, that, you know, Kansas City's great. That they were a wild card team last year. So they played an extra round of playoffs. And so that's a factor as well. You think about these numbers, 42 million for the Ravens Bills. I think the smallest audience of the weekend was maybe 34 million for either Texans Kansas City or the Fox game Commanders Lions. So I mean, keep that in mind. The smallest audience of the weekend was 34 million. The national title game of college football, we haven't seen the numbers for that yet. There is no way that's coming close to 34 million, right? Probably low 20 million. You know, again, I haven't seen it. And so keep all of the NFL ratings discussion in that context, right? The NFL is, with declines, far outpacing the pinnacle of other sports. So we no need to panic about the NFL's circumstances. We are not in 2017 here with the ratings. The league is in perfectly healthy shape. It's just, you know, not quite as strong in terms of viewership as the past couple of years. Let's switch gears now and talk a little bit about some of the other things that have been going on in sports media over the past week. Let's start with the LIV Golf Tour striking a deal with Fox Sports last week that will put its events on all the Fox Sports networks, including the Fox Broadcast Network, FS1, FS2, Fox Business. You know, on a previous iteration of this podcast, I did advocate for Fox Business to pick up LIV Golf because it made a lot of sense to me. We all know that LIV Golf is, if you were to situate it politically, it would be right of center. They play at Trump Doral. He's a proponent of it. And we all know what Fox's political leanings are. So I always thought Fox Business makes sense. You know, CNBC airs sports. Fox Business is their version of CNBC. So I actually see that as being a relatively smart move. I don't think this deal is quite as good for LIV as all that, because ultimately, most of these events, most of these events won't be on the Fox Broadcast Network. And the Fox Broadcast Network is a big improvement over CW. But the reality is that FS1, FS2, Fox Business, these are not an improvement over CW. It may be the case that in most weeks, LIV is actually getting fewer viewers than it was getting on CW, if that is even possible. Armand, what are your thoughts on the LIV Golf Tour and this deal with Fox?
It seemed to be a matter of time before LIV ended up, at least in my opinion, on Fox. But I do think they're harmed. The initial reports that I saw said that there was not a breakdown. I would be curious to know how many events, if any, end up on the Fox network and what that would tell us about perhaps future deals going forward, because there needs to be some momentum here with LIV Golf in order to increase viewership and really increase more just eyeballs being aware of the product overall.
Yeah. I mean, let's be completely real. There's not enough of a golf audience to sustain two leagues, much less three, if you include PGL. One is going to get lost in the shuffle, maybe two, maybe all of them, frankly. And so the reality is that there's a uphill battle being fought right now in terms of exposure. Will Fox bring that? Fox will bring better promotion, that's for certain. One of the benefits is it's not like CW has other sports rights, really. I mean, they have, you know, a few ACC games here or there. Fox can promote it during the Super Bowl. Fox can promote it during the NFC title game, right? I mean, those are massive promotional opportunities. But in general, what is the audience really for, you know, more golf or golf that doesn't resemble golf, you know, with the shorts and all the other changes that they made? One of the strangest things about LIV is, you know, golf has an older audience, generally an older audience, and I don't mean to be stereotypic, right? But an older audience isn't looking for, hey, bells and whistles and Everything looks different, and we got all these flashy graphics. They kind of just want, you know, the established product that they're used to. And so, I guess I have a question for you, right? Do you see any universe where Liv really makes more of a dent on the PGA, not by bringing it down, but by starting to catch up to it? Because I certainly don't.
I don't either. And I definitely don't see it when you don't know exactly where everything's going to be. I think, and I was wondering about this as you were talking, you have, once January comes around, you know that CBS is going to have its weekly golf events. You know the Masters is in April on CBS, a tradition unlike any other. You know where to find the US Open. I guess my other question was, as I'm sort of rambling here and thoughts are running together, Liv is doing the production for this, right? So this, yeah. these are not Fox Sports people.
No, it's the same people. Arlo White, all the same people.
Okay. Because the last time Fox did golf, didn't go all that well. They brought Joe Buck in, and he had never done golf before. Had some things that were good, some standout commentators. Even Joe Klatt, I think, was doing some golf during that time. But I just don't know how much change people want with their golf coverage. And I don't know how much of it is, I don't know where Bliv is going to fit in all of this when people are used to their golf coming from the same places. And as you said, the golf audience overall is just not big enough to be slicing up the pie so many different ways. And so I applaud Liv for getting this done. And I think it was a step forward compared to sort of being lost on the CW. But I just don't know long-term how this advances the audience, how this grows the audience of golf, because based on what I've seen, that audience is pretty set.
Yeah, as you said, I mean, ultimately, you know, you're not going to bring a new young audience to golf. You're not going to do that with, you know, TGL either. And TGL is at least on ESPN and getting viewership figures that Liv thus far could only dream of. So, you know, there's a limit to what they can do. But, you know, this is what, year three, year four? This story goes back quite a ways. It's still around. They're making progress, but I will be, you know, I would be skeptical of this deal changing the calculus dramatically.
And where does Liv even fit within the scheduling? Because Fox will still have MLB going on. We know that Fox, I mean, gosh, Fox has been doing Major League Baseball since the mid-90s. So where does the scheduling happen? How much of a priority does Fox make Liv, considering how low those audience numbers have been compared to the sports that have endured that have been on Fox for many, many years?
Well, from what I've seen, nothing official. I have seen things that have leaked on social media that indicate Fox will be kind of doing a patchwork schedule, right? You know, maybe prime time here, late night there, a third round, but not a final round, or I should say a second round, but not a final round, a first round, but not a final round. You know, it's going to be wherever they can find windows to put that on. And yeah, as I don't necessarily know that that's, again, dramatically better than just having them on CW at consistent times, right? So you actually are losing something, the consistent start times that it had on CW.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. CareCare is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
All right, let's move forward into some other topics this week. Want to send our best wishes to the great Dick Vitale of ESPN, who was supposed to be returning to the air this week, but unfortunately suffered a setback with a household accident. As anyone knows, with elderly folks, 85 years old, you know, household falls are pretty significant things. It seems like he expects to make a full recovery, but we'll keep him from debuting this week. And, I think sometimes, because we've had back-to-back presidents now at 78 years old, we will maybe occasionally not take seriously the fact of age, right? You know, the fact of aging. And, obviously Dick Vitale has dealt with 4 different rounds of cancer in 3 years. Now this issue, any game he calls is something to definitely not take for granted. I bring that up, and also want to note the death of Bob Uecker last week. So Bob Uecker, obviously the voice of the Brewers, and well-known as a great local baseball voice, and they're always beloved, from Ernie Harwell to Vin Scully. But what separated Bob Uecker was that he was a bona fide celebrity. He was a comic figure in American popular culture for many years. What you want to go back to, obviously, the Major League film series, and playing Harry Doyle, the Indians announcer. Tremendous, tremendous work there. He was on Mr. Belvedere, which I have to admit, I've actually never seen a second of. So I don't know what he was like on Mr. Belvedere. I've seen more of Small Wonder than Mr. Belvedere. So I actually am not familiar with that, but some of his great cameos later in his career on Futurama, playing the baseball voice there, playing himself, actually. A tremendous entertainer, a tremendous play-by-play voice, but also a tremendous entertainer. Armand, you obviously pay so much attention to play-by-play, to all of these folks' careers, and you can really put, I'm sure, Bob Uecker into some greater historical perspective.
You know, one of the first things I thought about when Uecker passed away was I thought about Bob Costas, and I thought about 2 3-man booths, of which Bob Costas was a part, and how he is the only person left standing. He worked with Bill Walton and Steve Jones just one time, interestingly enough, in 2000, a Game 7 between, I think, the Blazers and the Lakers. It was a game Doug Collins had to miss for NBC. Walton and Snap, an incredible analyst duo. They're both gone. And of course, from 95 to 97, both the 95 and 97 World Series on NBC, Costas worked those with Joe Morgan and Bob Uecker, who are now both gone. A remarkable broadcaster, incredible sense of humor, was on Johnny Carson, I think, more than 100 times. Made some appearances on Letterman, but the kind of guy that just soaked up a room with his humor and his wit. I love the jokes that Brian Anderson has told and Matt Vasgersian, the stories they have told. And it goes to show you just the great relationship that no sport has it like this when it, besides baseball, the relationship between the local broadcaster and the fans. The relationship in baseball is so superior to every other sport. And for Milwaukee to lose Bob Uecker, it's very similar to the Dodgers losing Vin Scully, to the Cardinals losing Jack Buck. So glad that we got an opportunity to pay tribute to you and to wish Dick Vitale well.
And also coming up next month, a couple of weeks, Super Bowl Sunday, it's Hubie Brown's final broadcast as well. He's about 91. I'll be doing that, I believe, with Dave Pasch, I think they'd said.
I think so.
Yeah. Let's transition to one of Hubie's longest tenured partners, Mike Tirico, who today, we're taping Wednesday, was named the play-by-play voice, the lead voice of the new NBA on NBC. And that was well known. Everyone knew Tirico was going to get that position. I know I had thought that Noah Eagle might be a good pick for that, with Tirico in the studio. But obviously, if you've got Mike Tirico, and you're gonna want to use him. And Mike was, of course, so great on the NBA for so many years, calling Kobe Bryant's final game. Tirico's back. He'll be debuting on opening night in October. Remember, this new TV deal starts this year, here in 2025. So in about 10 months' time, maybe even 10 months from today, usually it's the 22nd or thereabouts is usually when the NBA starts. Mike Tirico will be opening up the NBA season on NBC. Tirico, great play-by-play voice, better as a host, I think both of us would agree, but certainly somebody who immediately gives the NBA and NBC, the new version, some pretty significant credibility, and also keeps it in the same family, I mean, obviously, but, you know, links it a little bit more closely to Sunday Night Football, which is also a good thing.
And we already know that Jamal Crawford's going to be a part as an analyst. Don't know what team he'll land with, as NBC Sports' press release said, a lead analyst. So we don't know if that'll be a top team with Tirico or maybe a number two team with what we expect to be Noah Eagle. But no-brainer for Tirico. Not only was he partnered up with Hubie Brown on the number two team with ESPN, people forget Tirico for a few years did the NBA Finals on radio for ESPN, many of those games with Hubie Brown. Just a perfect fit. Had done the NBA for about 15 years before he left ESPN. And how about this run for Tirico? He's going to finally get his first Super Bowl on play-by-play coming up. Well, we expect that to be with Collinsworth. Is that next year?
Yeah, next year. They got Super Bowl, Olympics, and NBA. You know, if NBC really wants to put Mike through his paces, they'll have him do all three in the same day. Why not? I mean, they had him do the Super Bowl and the Olympics back in 22. So, hey, go for it.
He did. But how about Tirico pulling off the old Marv Albert schedule there, just nonstop working, but one of the absolute best. And once we found out that NBC was going to be involved with the NBA, the first person who came to mind was Mike Tirico. Good for him on getting that lead spot.
Yeah. The real test for NBC is going to be in the analyst position, because I don't think Jamal Crawford is at the point yet where he can be the main guy. Obviously, there'll be a lot of TNT people on the market. Does Reggie Miller go to Amazon and stay with Kevin Harlan, right? Jim Jackson, who you've touted Jim Jackson, does he go to Amazon and work with Ian Eagle? Grant Hill, does he go to ESPN, like the rumors were saying? Do they try to bring in someone new and fresh and different? Three networks now for the NBA. Three totally, you know, different platforms. The last time the NBA had three partners was in the mid-80s, right? When it had CBS, I guess USA, and ESPN. So there'll be a lot of opportunity, and also probably worth bringing in a new generation. We talk so much about the need for the NBA itself to transition to this new generation from the era of LeBron and Steph and Kevin Durant, because obviously the assumption is going to be that the longer people stay around, the more people kind of get sick of them. Well, that applies to analysts too. And I think everyone loves Charles Barkley, you would think, but there's an entire generation of young viewers who are too young to have seen Charles play. They're too young to have even seen Charles in his prime on TNT, which would be really the first 6 or 7 years that he was there. And all they see is an older guy trashing their favorite players all the time. And I'll tell you, I truly think that there's a generation gap where there's a lot of kids who look at, a lot of kids and young adults who look at Charles Barkley the way that hockey fans used to look at Mike Milbury. And Mike Milbury got run out on the rails for a joke that would not have gotten anybody else fired at any point, right? But he got ran out because that had been building for a while. I'm not saying the same thing will happen to Charles, but it's something to consider. I think among younger NBA fans, among, you know, the fans who actually like the league, believe it or not, millions of people like the NBA. I mean, obviously, people don't hate watch 2.5 hours of live sports. Okay, so a lot of people actually like the NBA, and I think that it would be good for the league to get some of that young blood, some of the people who were, you know, who don't necessarily feel the way about the league that Charles and Shaq might.
And Amazon is doing this with their studio crew. They've got Blake Griffin coming in. That's already been announced. Taylor Rooks is going to host. Blake Griffin is going to be one of the analysts. So will Dirk Nowitzki. Makes me wonder, what does NBC do? They've got to fill up this roster. I know they've got Jalen Rose doing some college basketball stuff. Do they move him over to do some NBA things as well for NBC and Peacock? And what players are out there who might be interested in doing broadcasting? Maybe even some of the players who are doing podcasts right now, a Carmelo Anthony, a Chris Bosh, current podcasters who would be interested in sort of moving over to maybe a bigger role on television. Lord knows there are seemingly thousands of NBA players who have something to say on a podcast, but would they be willing to move over to an NBC and do some broadcasting? But it is fascinating, though. The cupboard is quite bare top analysts in the NBA. And I think part of it is because your best analysts are coaching. Steve Kerr, Doc Rivers, Jeff Van Gundy.
Yeah.
They're all coaching now. Now, ESPN had something to do with Van Gundy being a coach now, an assistant coach, because they let him and Mark Jackson go. But it will be interesting to see how NBC sort of fills out this roster. I this is me speculating a bit, but I definitely expect some names like Reggie Miller and Richard Jefferson to start popping up here within the next few weeks and months as either ESPN top level or NBC going forward. And one last thing on this, and then I'll let it go. I wonder if I would imagine Maria Taylor would have a presence on the studio show, considering that she does both their college football and their NFL. They've got Ahmed Fareed there who does some of their studio work as well. Jack Collinsworth maybe could be another name for somebody that we could see, or they could just go in a completely different area altogether. But they do have some voices from a host standpoint, but it will be interesting to see who they turn to for analysts, both in studio and for their games.
I'm going to be very interested to see what Amazon Studio show ends up looking like. Because inside the NBA, obviously, is the gold standard. But inside the NBA has also not had to compete with anybody, like ever. NBC tried once with, you know, Jason Williams, and then Jason Williams killed his limo driver. And it was already not working. And then that was the end of that. But to me, TNT's never had to deal with anybody else putting on a really quality studio show. I think Amazon, based on Thursday Night Football, has certain designs on redefining the studio show, which has become, because people love the folks that they loved 30 years ago, and I'm not judging, but because people love the stuff they loved 30 years ago, there's a lot of shows in sports TV that feature folks who are not necessarily of the cutting edge. Charles Barkley is not cutting edge. He has not been since like 2006. Tony and Mike are not cutting edge. Terry Bradshaw is not cutting edge. They're all well respected. But if you're putting out a younger model, right, you have an opportunity there because so few are doing that. A lot of these shows have the same people that were there in 1995, which I don't mind. I still watch PTI, right? But there's an opportunity for a studio show that is a little bit more generationally, you know, limber, I guess you could say. And to me, I wouldn't be shocked if you came back around next year and inside the NBA is on ESPN, and which still seems impossible to happen, but Amazon is getting accolades and maybe even being compared favorably to Inside. Because I really like those hires of Dirk and Blake Griffin. Dirk and Blake Griffin played against current players of the league. When Charles Barkley was at his best, it was when he was in his late 30s and had just gotten out of the NBA, and the players in the league were his peers. So he wasn't lecturing them. And the game was being played the way it was played when he was in the league. So he was not dissatisfied with the state of the game. And Charles is still excellent, but the aspects of him now where he doesn't seem really to respect today's players and hasn't seemed to, like, ever, right? Like, since dating back to, like, 2011, when LeBron went to Miami, but you could even go back to when Kobe was having his issues in LA in the mid-2000s. So there's always been kind of a lecturing aspect with Charles and the top stars. I mean, he's still a tremendously entertaining person on the air, but by getting rid of that, you can kind of maybe undermine Inside's advantage a little bit. And I think these guys will avoid that problem.
Well, the other part of it too is if you're Amazon, you do want to be careful because you don't want to be so celebratory of the game that you're not willing to be critical. And that's where people do give TNT a lot of credit. It's, we're not just sitting around here calling everything wonderful. Now, at the same time, there should be a balance. But if you're Amazon, you do want to sort of strike that nice middle ground to where if the product is not as good as it needs to be, you do want people who are bold enough to say that. So interesting to see what happens going forward, though. But I tend to agree with you. I like the hires from Amazon and look forward to seeing what NBC does as well.
Yeah, my expectation is going to be that Amazon is going to be kind of the cutting edge. TNT, ESPN, same thing next year, is going to be kind of the established. And I kind of see NBC doing what they did for all those 12 years they had the NBA before. The best era of the NBA on TV, but they had some bland studio shows. And I would expect NBC will, with all due respect to a friend of the podcast, Ahmed Farid, I expect NBC's studio to be pretty bland. I'm not expecting anything, you know, all that interesting from them. So I think that about does it for the podcast this week. We did not discuss the viewership figures for the national championship of college football, as those were not out when we taped Wednesday afternoon. That'll do it for this week, and we'll be back with more stuff down the line.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.